Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, ladies. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about something. You know, we've been talking about excellence, and as I was praying this morning, I was just, you know, really trying to weigh through what the Lord wanted me to, what vein He wanted me to go in the direction of excellence. And He said, talk to them tonight about pursuing the presence of God. And so I thought, well, that makes perfect sense to go with excellence, because you can have cleanliness, you can have order, you can have structure, you can have perfectionism, you can have legalism, but you can't have excellence without the presence of God. Only God can cause you to really be a person of excellence, because I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it says that love is a more excellent way. And so it also says that God is love. And so in order to really be a person of excellence, it comes from walking in with and yet pursuing the presence of God. And it's one of my favorite things probably to talk about. The fear of the Lord might be my favorite authority and honor also, but the presence of God is one of my favorite things to talk about. And the direction we're going to go may be surprising, but I hope to deliver it in a way that's inspiring. Daniel 5:12 says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And so in order to be a person of excellence who doesn't just do or strive for excellent things or actions, but it's who we are, we must be pursuers of His presence, pursuing, walking in, and going after. But here's the truth about the presence of God, and this is going to, you might find this quite interesting, is that I have found that there are very few people who are actually on this pathway. You think, oh, but there's so many people in the church. People in the church doesn't equal people who are pursuing the presence of God. In Matthew 7:13, it says this. Let me read it exactly. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what we could say is narrow is the way that leads to Jesus, and it's a difficult pathway. Isn't that interesting to think about? So why do few people choose this pathway? This is what I believe, because on this pathway, your flesh must die. On this pathway, God gets rid of excess. Excess flesh. What is the flesh? It's me, my nature, my wants, my desires, my speech, my feelings, my dreams, my spirituality even. It's me, my, and mine must be crucified. Nothing about the flesh was created to be exalted. And that is why the pathway to the presence has very few people actually traveling on it. Because on this pathway, you have to die. You have to die to yourself if you are really going after His presence. And it doesn't sound exciting, but there is nothing like the presence of God, because in His presence, there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So why? Here's your answer. Why are people in the church so joyless? Why are they not filled with pleasure? But they have all these pleasures, but they're not fulfilled. It's because they are actually not in His presence, because when you are finding yourself in His presence, you will have fullness of joy and you'll have pleasures, whether you have natural or temporary pleasures, because that is where you find it. But everything must be crucified. It's taking every thought, word, action, emotion, family member, friend, and laying them on the altar of God. It's laying down your pursuits, your goals, your dreams, your plans, your people, your likes, your dislikes, your personality. It's laying them before God going, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that does not sound fun, but let me tell you, it is the most rewarding pathway because God will give you exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think according to the power that's at work inside of you. And I look at you teens because I think so much of myself at 17, giving myself over to God going, Lord, I don't want a guy until you want me to have him. And if that takes 5 years, I want the man that is your perfect will for me, and I will not do anything else. I went and bought myself a wedding band from Walmart and said, I'm married to Jesus. And some guy, I was working at some restaurant and I had on a wedding band and I was vacuuming and he asked me something about my wedding band and I said, I'm married to Jesus. And he was like, what are you, a nun? And I was like, you just think that, buddy, because this ain't going anywhere anyway. Anyway, so lay everything before God. Lay your business career. Lay whatever it is that you're pursuing. And when I say lay it there, I'm not saying that it's going to die, that you're going to have to get rid of it. It is saying, God, I surrender. God, I surrender what my pursuit is. I've had, you know, when we were doing discipleship, I would tell the girls, they would say, I want to be a doctor. I want to do this. I think I really like this guy. 2 weeks later, I think I really like this guy. I'm like, okay, here's what you need to do, okay? Here's what you need to do. Give it to Jesus, okay? It's not about you. When you give your life to Jesus, it's Jesus's life. And so you lay it before him, whatever it is, and you let him do with it whatever he wants to. And if he wants it to become an ash heap, it will. If he wants it to resurrect, it will. If he wants it to flourish, it will. But the pathway to the presence comes in surrender. Lay down everything before God and let him lead you and listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit that's saying, these are some people, these are some ideas, these are some plans, some attitudes, some ways of speaking that he's been asking and telling you it's time to lay it or them down. And you need to constantly be asking him, Lord, when I'm around this person, I get this feeling in my stomach like I don't need to be with them anymore. I don't need to hang out with them anymore. I don't need to be around them anymore. And you have to be willing to go, I can't see anything wrong with them. I can't see anything that should say I shouldn't hang out with them. But you've got to listen to the Lord. It's not about what you think. It's about following the unctions of the Holy Spirit that's saying, okay, this isn't taking me into his presence. You can do the same with music. When you're listening to something and you start praying or praying in the Spirit, is your spirit quenched by something you're listening to, by something you're watching, something you're doing? This is the pathway to the presence, is allowing every single aspect of your life to be taken before God. What you're watching. Some things may not be bad, but are they beneficial? Are they taking you deeper into his presence? I remember there was a time when I was single where the Lord was like, listen, Madison, you don't need to be watching Hallmark movies because then all you're praying about is marriage and you're single and you need to stop thinking about romance. And so I laid down Hallmark movies because I was 17 and I was really wanting to already be married because I knew I can't have anything till I get married. I can't have any benefits. I can't kiss anybody. I can't hold anybody's hand. I can't hug anybody. So the Lord was like, you need to lay down romantic movies. And so be listening to those little nudges, those little unctions of, you know, you meet this person and you're like, they sound good to my face, but something inside tells me that they're a backstabber. Something inside tells me that they're not trustworthy. And listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to tell you. And here's the thing. He's not telling you these things to control you. He's telling you these things because you're on the pathway to his presence. And there's things that won't make it in. You're on something called the highway of holiness, or you can be. And on the highway of holiness, you have to let the things that aren't holy go to the wayside. Because he says, be you holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Does this make sense? You know, it may be people that you've had in your life forever. It may be family members that God is saying, what's coming in is not beneficial to you. If they are negative and worrisome or depressing or confusing or bitter, and every time you get off the phone with them, are you brought down? Because if you are, then it's something that's not beneficial to your life that God may say for a season. And he's had me do this with very close family members where he has said, you don't need that infiltration right now in your life. Because every time I would talk to that person, I would just be worried about everything. And like, when I go the walking track, is somebody going to attack me? You know, just crazy things because of what they were going through. And so I had to cut them off. I've had a friend before that I'm like, oh my goodness, you are so negative and you complain about everything that I'm just like, okay, I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to be courteous to you, but I can't go any further than that. One, because it was just getting on my nerves. And so there may be times, some people he will cut off forever and some people he will cut off for a season where it gives them time, because you may think, well, that's not showing them compassion, but there's a scripture that says, deliver them over to Satan so that their flesh can be buffeted so that they can be saved. And so you may cut some people off for a time, but it's for their benefit. But that's why it's key to listen to the voice of God that says, this is a time where you need to separate from this friend or this family member for your benefit and for their benefit. And so I encourage you, if there's people, you need to ask the Lord, is this someone, if you're feeling a nudge, maybe you're feeling one right now, there's people, you need to listen to that nudge and go, God, you may know exactly who they are, or you may know, I need to take this prayer and ask the Lord, is there someone that I'm listening to that I don't need to? Someone that's bringing me down. It's not helping me. It's not getting me into the presence of God. You know, if you have people who are leeches and all they do is just leech and leech and leech and leech, you're not doing them any good and they're not doing you any good, because leeches don't receive. In the book of Proverbs, all they cry out is more, 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 more. And if you're pouring in and pouring in and pouring in, I'm not being mean about whoever the leech is, but you are wasting your time. Why do you say that? That's mean. No, it's not, because God has someone who will receive from you. But if you're pouring into someone that you're just pouring in and pouring in and they're staying the same, they're not even taking your advice, then it may be time to go, you know what? I pray for you. I give you to God. I hope he opens your eyes, but the Lord's telling me I need to move on. I hope this is making sense. I hope it's helpful to something, to where you're at. But the question is, if God is speaking specifically about things or people that you need to get rid of, then just do it, because God told you to, and trust him with the results. Because the question is, do you want to grow or shrivel up? Because if he has spoken to you or speaking to you now and you choose not to, you will become stagnant and you will shrivel up. Or from this death, from this denial, from this surrender, you will grow. Do you want to grow? He has brought us to a point of decision and has said, you've come this far, but you're not going any further with that thing or that person. Because whatever you're holding on to so tightly, God cannot give you more until you release. And he may cause you to release and he may come right back. Or he may cause you to release and you're done with it. It's not coming back, you know. But if you will release, God can take you into everything he has for you relationally, or with the thing, with the attitude, with the mindset, whatever it may be. If you have an insecure mindset, a negative mindset, then allow God to shift that, because that's not what he wants for you. And you know what your thing is. You know whatever it is that you've been holding on to that's holding you back. Just surrender it to the Lord. Let's go to Joshua 5:2. I know this message may not come across as exciting, but it is always beneficial. Joshua 5:2. Here's what's going on. Moses has died, and Joshua has just taken the people over the Jordan. and they're following the presence of God. And as the sole of the priest's feet hit that river, the River Jordan, it split both sides, and the people followed, and they crossed over, and the priest remained, and their feet were dry on the ground from the way that God had split the river. And so they get over to the other side. They set up their memorial stones. They just got into the promised land. How exciting, right? And I feel like this is a prophetic word of where the Well Fort Payne is. Is yesterday was great. Growth is happening. God is doing things. Yesterday was a shifting day. But the shifting, we had the resurrection, right? They also just crossed the Jordan, right, into the promised land. So they get into the promised land, the thing they've been waiting to do, waiting till all those people who didn't believe died off because God said, you're not going into the promised land. And what does God say? He says in Joshua 5:2, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Yes, we're in the promised land. And God says, let's get circumcised. Okay, so what do you mean? What does this have to do with anything that you're talking about? We're talking about pursuing the presence of God. Yes, but we're following the presence of God right over that Jordan River to the place of getting circumcised again. So what does circumcision have to do with women? Well, circumcision means this. It is the removal of excess flesh that hinders reproduction. So you cannot be fruitful. You can't produce. You can't have growth if you're not first circumcised. And so we have to allow the Lord to circumcise our hearts. It says, you're circumcised be circumcised in the foreskins of your heart. That means the excess flesh in your heart, the excess flesh in your mind, in your attitude, in your actions. Allow the presence of God to cause those things to be cut off so that you can be more fruitful, so that you can grow, so that you can move forward, because you can't go further until you get rid of the excess things, the excess people, the excess anything that is hindering your growth, anything that's hindering your family. If you want to go further or deeper or have greater encounters, if you want to pursue His presence, you first have to embrace and receive circumcision. Ask yourself this question: what is hindering my pursuit of Him? What is hindering me from growing spiritually? Who is hindering my pursuit of Him? Who is hindering me from growing spiritually? The answer may be one you don't want to accept, but I encourage you to take those questions before the Lord with an open heart and say, God, search me and know my thoughts. Lord, what is hindering me from getting closer to You? What is hindering me from growing? Who is hindering me from growing? And lay it open before the Lord with an openness that says, I'm wide open. I have no will of my own. I only want You want. I only want Your desires. You can, whoever it is, whatever it is, if it's the thing I love the most, if it's my favorite drink, if it's my favorite snack, if it's my favorite show, if it's my favorite music, if it's my favorite person, if it's a family member, whatever it is, God, I lay every single thing, every single person before You. Everything. What needs to be circumcised? What do I need to lay aside? What do I need to get rid of? Listen, if you've got people who are negative, who are always complaining, they're mean, or they're harsh, or they're judgmental, or they're discouraging, or they're questioning what God is doing, or if He's doing it, then I would guess that you need to separate yourself from those people, because it is hindering your growth. And if you don't, you won't go any further. Because in order to keep moving forward, they had to be circumcised again. And I find a lot of people in the church walking around with a lot of excess flesh. Sometimes they're on the stage. Sometimes they're in leadership. Sometimes they're not. But I find a lot of excess flesh. And we need to go before the Lord and say, God, I want to grow. God, I want to keep moving forward. Lord, I want to keep going after Your presence. So what is keeping me from being able to move forward? Take it before the Lord and ask Him, hey, if it's the news, if it's Facebook, if it's Instagram, if after you're looking at something or watching something, you're depressed or you're anxious or you're negative or you're insecure or whatever it may be, then it's not worth it. If something is pulling you down, it's not worth its infiltration into your life. And some things God may say, you just need to limit it. Like if it's a social media outlet, if it's the news or whatever it may be, God may be saying, you need to cut back. You need to set a time limit, whatever. I'm giving you examples. I'm not giving you exact. This is your relationship with God that you need to take before Him and find out what is it that He's wanting to get rid of. Ask God, Lord, separate from me anything and everything that is not pleasing to you, anything that is causing me to not grow. If there's things you're turning to, when you get upset, when you get frustrated or discouraged and you turn to, you know, for me, there was a time when I would turn to a bowl of cereal. And the Lord said, when you get sad or upset, you're running to that Honey Bunches of Oats. Mm-hmm. And you're not coming to me first. I would go eat the cereal. And then He's like, come to me. It's not that the cereal was wrong. It's that He wanted that first place. And so ask yourself, where do you go when you're upset? Is it to another person? Listen, this is so general. Please, if you think I'm talking directly to you, it's because the Lord is, because I'm literally using generalizations. But ask yourself, where am I turning to instead of Jesus when things happen? Am I turning to worry? Am I turning to anger? Am I turning to frustration? Am I turning to social media to escape? Like, I see so many people, they get nervous. I don't even know where my phone is. Oh, it's in the sound booth. They get nervous, or they'll be somewhere and they don't know someone or something. And what do? Can I borrow your phone? They're like this. I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull up your messages. You know, but they're like, some people turn automatically to their phone to escape because they're afraid. They're nervous. And I encourage you, don't turn to your phone. Don't turn to food. Don't, whatever your escape mechanism may be, turn first to Jesus. And then after that, if you want a bowl of cereal or whatever your thing is, then go, but go there next. Start with Jesus, because anything else isn't going to take care of whatever you're dealing with anyway. And so He wants us to come to Him first. But what is it that is needed to accomplish the task of circumcision? In verse 3, it says, so Joshua made flint knives for himself. And I'm not going to read them, all of that. So Joshua made flint knives for himself, and he circumcised the sons of Israel. And it had the name there. But flint knives accomplish circumcision. It isn't a pleasant procedure, but one that is necessary for growth and pursuit. Flint actually means sharp, meaning it's not kind of or sort of. It looks like going before God. You know, it's not a kind of sort of thing. It's like, in the book of Isaiah, it says, I will set my face like a flint towards Him. It means I'm committed. I'm determined. There is nothing that is going to sway me from my pursuit of Him, from my focus of Him. It doesn't matter what these circumstances are. It doesn't matter what these people are doing, what they are saying, what they're not doing, what they're not saying. It doesn't matter what my family is doing. It doesn't matter what my friends are doing. I'm setting my face like a flint towards Him. And anything that He says has to go, anything that He says needs to be added, then it will be added or it will be taken away. And it doesn't matter either way. But that is part of what circumcision is. It means going before God and saying, remove anything that is excess that you don't want, even if I want it. Praying prayers like that, God, even if I want this, I don't want it because you don't want it. Or I don't want it, but I want it because you want it. God, I don't want to do this right now. Like, this is not what I want to be doing with my life. Like, I don't want it to, whatever it may be, maybe in your job or at home or in school or a person that God wants you to minister to, whatever it may be, it's not, when you are pursuing after the presence of God and actually pursuing after the presence of God, He will have you doing things that you don't always love doing. But you know what it is doing to you? It's making you die to yourself and come alive to God. And it is producing things in you that you didn't even know were being produced because you were willing. And I find in the church that people don't want to do things they don't want to do, even if God is wanting them to do that. But you have to go. I've seen this so many times in my life where I'm in something, I'm doing something that I may not even want to be doing. Don't even feel that unction, that umph, that the fire and the power of God. But then I see myself later with my children and something new has been produced that God is bearing that I didn't even do anything for except for die. But unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. This is true discipleship. And I see that that is not what is the main thing anymore, is people don't want to die to themselves. No, of course you don't. But what is the main thing? What do you want the most? Because if you really want the presence of God, Jesus said this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, wow. Deny himself. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. I thought church was supposed to be talk about me, tell me good things about me, and everything that I am, and touch me and make my day. Oh, wait, hold on, Jesus. I think you got the wrong message here. That's what it looks like right now. And let me tell you something. I saw somebody post about the church in China, about them going in and killing Christians and tormenting Christians right now. And then I see a United States pastor post something about how wonderful you are. And I'm like, oh, my dear Jesus. To Jesus, I say this, not in vain. What has become of the American church where it's all about me? But if you listen to the modern music, what is the modern worship? It's all about you. It's all about you. Where is Jesus? We have made Christianity so selfish. But if we would die to ourselves, we would find everything we've been seeking the whole time. I wish the world of the church could grab that message that if you will deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you will have everything you've been seeking. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that they'll be added unto you. So everything you lay on the altar, God is either going to completely die and you're going to be so free in a new way, or God's going to wait a little while and you're going to die during that process, and then he's going to resurrect you, and then he's going to give it back to you, or he's going to automatically resurrect it and it's going to be 100 times better. But either way, everything that you lay on the altar of God, God is going to do something with it that is going to be so beneficial and produce so much growth and take you so much closer. Have you ever found when you're dying that your time in prayer is so intimate that when God is like, hey, will you give me that coffee? And you're like, oh yes, Jesus, I love you. Here's the coffee. Have you ever done that before? God, I really want to date this guy, but okay, here he is, Jesus. I did that so many times because the Lord was always like, no, 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 5 years, no, no, no. And I'm like, okay, here's Spencer. Here he is, Jesus. For a whole year, because he never even noticed me for that long. God, I give him back. 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 After 9 months, I got the victory. I'm not thinking about him anymore. And then the next day, the Lord's like, here he is. And I was like, oh, no. God, I just got victory in my mind after all those months. Okay, got it. That's sometimes what it looks like. It's all about his timing. It's all about his will. But it's not scary, because if you will submit and surrender to it in every single area, every single day, every single commitment, every day I say, Lord, I commit my works to you that my thoughts may be established. God, I commit this day to you. I commit Flourish to you. I commit going to the grocery store to you. I commit my parenting to you. I commit being a wife to you today. God, let your will be done in every single aspect. God, I don't want to make one tiny decision that you're not saying, Lord, bless it. Spencer and I, before we make decisions, we're like, okay, did you pray about that? Well, let's wait till tomorrow. Let's pray about it, and then we'll make, and it can be the smallest thing. It could be the biggest thing. Do we need to go on this trip? Do we not? Do we need to do this? Do we not? And take everything before the Lord constantly, because why? You're pursuing His presence. And I don't want to go anywhere that His presence is not going. Have you ever made a decision and you're like, you get over there and you're like, the grace of God ain't here. There is no favor in this moment. This is awful. This stinks. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I did this. Lord, please forgive me. And so commit everything to the Lord, because you want to be going where His presence is going. You want to be pursuing Him. Why? For who He is. Everything that I'm saying, everything that I'm telling you to give up, to lay down, is because we are simply pursuing who He is, not because of what He's going to do with what we laid on the altar, but simply because we want to know Him more and more and more and more. He is the one that we're going to be spending eternity with. So the whole point is because we're going after Him. We're pursuing after Him. I'll give you a small example of denying yourself. I don't allow myself to watch very much. There's like a few things that I'll let myself watch. Well, this one thing that I was allowing myself to watch, they, on their social media outlet, on the Women's Day, they honored several women who were married to other women. And so I totally did not expect that of this couple, because they hadn't been like that. They were very clean and things like that. And so I laid it down. That's a small example, but that's part of circumcision. It's just, don't attach yourself to anything to such a degree that you can't lay it down, that you can't let it go. Let's look at Joshua 5:8. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. You know what the beautiful thing is? That God will circumcise us if we want Him to. He will not force it, and He will do it gently and rightly. It won't take away the hardship, and there will probably be grief. But it will always be out of love and for our good, so that He can take us into greater reproduction, more fruitfulness, making us, you know, more effective with other people, but also because He wants to bring healing. Because it says that after they were circumcised, they stayed in their camp until they were healed. It says in Psalm 18:35, "You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great." God's gentleness will make you great. That doesn't mean you're not going to be circumcised, but it means that He's going to be gentle. Some of us may not have the healing we want or need because we haven't walked through the circumcision we need. There may be some emotional things. There may be some physical things. And God is saying, if you will allow me to take you through this process, I will bring healing and deliverance like you've never experienced before. But you first have to go through this process. But a lot of people want the healing. They want the freedom, but they don't want the sacrifice. And God has a way of doing things. His ways are higher, they're greater, they're deeper, they're not shallow, they're not quick, they're not microwave. God has a way that He does things. And you know, if you don't go through the sacrifice and you don't go through the circumcision, you won't appreciate the healing. And you may be like that person that you get healed, you get delivered of the demon, the seven demons, and then so many more come back and feel it, because you've got to know how to handle it. And if you're not circumcised, you may not be able to handle having the healing, the freedom, the deliverance, because the self-control hasn't been established. And so we need the circumcision, because the circumcision will enable us for God to do new depths of healing, new depths of freedom, new depths of confidence and deliverance. You wouldn't think that, but circumcision brings a new level of confidence. How can you say that? Because when you die to you, you are so alive to Him. And it can do things that you've been trying and begging God for. God, please develop this in me. God, I want to be like this. God, I want this freedom. God, I want this in this area. God, I've been seeking. I've been praying. I've been asking. But maybe what He's saying is, you just need to die a little bit more, and you're going to have exactly what it is you've been seeking, because your eyes won't be so fixated on whatever it is that you're trying to fix, whatever it is that you're trying to get healed. All right, let's keep going. If you will surrender and submit to His faithful hand, He will show you, reveal to you things and people who are hindering you, and He will circumcise what is not of Him so you can be more fruitful. Then, it says in verse 9, He'll roll away all reproach. I love this. Here's what reproach means: disgrace, shame. I don't know if I'm saying this word right. It's contumely. Which this is what contumely means: insolent or insulting language or treatment. So literally it says He will roll away all disgrace, all shame, all insolent or insulting language or treatment. Maybe there's some reproach, disgrace, shame, or people have talked bad about you, mean to you, negative to you, never encouraged you, never embraced you, never spoke life into you. God says, if you will go this pathway, I will roll all that away. All the reproach of Egypt, any shame, any discouragement, anything negative that has happened or been done to you, God says, I'll roll it away. Embrace the removal, and He will roll away all disgrace, and He'll bring healing. But then it says that they had Passover. So we've got this pathway that they're going of circumcision, rolling away the disgrace and the negative words and the bad words and being healed. But then we go into celebrating the Lamb of God. That's what Passover was, who sacrificed for us, which leads us, it says, I think it's in verse 10, it says, they ate of the produce of the land on that day after the Passover, unleavened bread, parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten of the land, and they no longer had manna, but they ate of the food of the land of Canaan. So they went from, you know, the manna to abundant and consistent and provision. But here's what I'm wanting to get to. After all this that they've gone through, and I'm going to go just a few more minutes. They come to verse 13, and Joshua, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. I want to stop right there. And so they have gone through all these things. What does all of this produce? It produced an encounter with an angel of the Lord, who was Jesus, because it's in a capital A, also because he bows down and the angel does not tell him to stop worshiping. So we know this is Jesus in the Old Testament that he is having this encounter with, because they have gone through all these steps. They're following the presence of God. There's the second circumcision. Everything's been rolled away. They've celebrated the Passover, and then bam, he comes into an encounter. And so all these things lead us to an encounter. And he comes face to face with who? The commander of the army of the Lord. And you know what I found? It's people who have truly been circumcised by God, they can handle the authority of God. You know what I found? People who haven't been, they can't. They can't handle authority. They can't handle instruction. They don't like discipline. They don't like being told what to do. Why? Because they're uncircumcised. But when we totally yield every aspect of our beings and our lives to God, He will cause us, He will allow us to come face to face with the commander or the captain, which this is what captain means in Hebrew. It means head. He came face to face with the head. Who is the head? Christ Jesus, from which all the joints and the ligaments are nourished, receive nourishment and supply. And so Joshua in verse 14b, so to speak. Here's his response to coming in contact with the presence of God. He says this, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And you know, I am all about praying for the glory of God. But if it's going to come, there's going to be a fear and there's going to be a reverence in the room. Because if not, you'll be slain. And so I want us to be the type of people that are walking in such reverence, in such awe of who God is, that his glory is manifested. Because he's omnipresent, he's here. But we're going after the manifested presence of God. We're not going after emotionalism where people get hyped up because it's exciting or because it's a holiday. We're going after the manifested presence of God that transforms people, that transforms lives instantly because his presence is manifested. But Joshua gives us an example of what to do. Fall on your face and worship him and say, "What does my Lord say to who? His servant." And I just read, I think it was this morning in Matthew or Luke, where he says, "And which of you having a servant, which has gone out to the field and worked all day, and coming in, says to him, 'Sit down and eat,' but first says, 'Go and do my things first, and then sit down.' And then when you're through with all these things, say this, 'I'm an unprofitable servant, for I've only done what has been commanded of me.'" There is such a level of dying to ourselves and serving him that he wants us to come to. Why? Just to know, but to do this because he wants to benefit us and he wants to promote us and he wants to take us deeper into his presence and reveal more of himself to us. Because Joshua came what? He came face to face. And I don't know about you, but I don't want religion. It's boring. I want the presence of God. I want the power of God. I want to come face to face with him, hear his audible voice, see his presence manifested, be so the glory of God, be the kabod of God, be so thick in this room that I'm just thrown down to the ground and none of us can stand up. And that pathway starts with circumcision. But if we will take this pathway, God has an encounter with us that reveals to us himself. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." This is my last thing. Why one sandal? Because you notice it's not sandals. He told Moses to take his sandals off. He told Joshua to take his sandal off. That's because he was bringing forth a transaction. A transaction that was established in Deuteronomy 8 and was used in the book of Ruth. We have Joshua removing his sandal because it's symbolic of him surrendering the land to the captain. Because the removal of whoever removed their sandal and gave it to the other person was symbolic of, you are the kinsman redeemer. You take it. As in with Boaz and the other guy took off his sandal and gave it to Boaz, symbolic of, I no longer have the right to tread this land. I'm giving it over to you. And so Joshua was surrendering over everything to this commander because he took his sandal off, symbolic of, God, this is yours. And I asked myself, why now this encounter? And I think it was because of the pathway that they were on, but I also think it may have been because Joshua had already been winning battles. He had already been defeating people. And maybe he just needed a reminder of saying, you know what? I'm just the vessel he's using. You know, sometimes we need that reminder. If we, you know, minister to someone or do something, we all of a sudden we feel good about ourselves. But maybe he, like us, sometimes needed the reminder that says, I'm just the vessel he's using. He's the captain. I'm doing this for him. Israel is his. This land is his. I'm his. I give myself to you, captain, is what was going on in this moment. And we, like Joshua, need to give him our sandal, so to speak. We need to surrender to him and go, not my will, but yours be done in every single aspect. Once you reach this point of victory, this point of presence, Victory is inevitable because next up, you've got Jericho. And you're going to have victory if you continue to follow the instruction of the Lord. Because that's how they got the victory. That's how they got where they were, is they followed the presence of God and they followed instruction. But I'll tell you a little secret, because I told you it's dependent on instruction. The next little place was a place called Ai. And guess what? They said, oh, it's only a few people. Just send a few men up. But they did not inquire of the Lord. And you know what happened? They took their tails. They were defeated. And they ran back home crying. And Joshua's crying on his face. And God says, get up. There's sin in the camp. And so, if you follow his instruction, you'll have victory every time. If you don't, you'll face defeat. But you know what? The grace of God is so good that he says, okay, deal with this, and then do this, and you will have the victory that you could have had to begin with.